We see that another presentation on the development of science and technology studies. I'll start by introducing our committee to you, and you likewise will also introduce yourself to us, and then you will then present your annual report. I am the chairperson, Ngabangqobo, the chairperson of science and technology here from the African National Congress. I'll allow members, I'll start from the member here next to me to introduce herself right up to the end. Everybody here, I would like to him or her to introduce him or herself. So the committee members, let them introduce themselves, starting from the member next to me.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Good day, everybody. My name is Poppy Muchumi, a member of the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology. I'm from the province of Gauteng, one of the 9 provinces of this country, as you all know. And I come from the primary region. I'm deployed by the African National Congress. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Linda Elwatunjo. I'm a member of the African National Congress coming from the Eastern Cape Province. I'm the Whip of Science and Technology.
Good afternoon. My name is Sana Molao, a member of the Science and Technology Committee, coming from the Northern Cape, a member of the Congress of the Big
Chair, honorable members of the distinguished guests, I am Nkosi Moelo Nangonyana, a deployee of the African National Congress from the OR Tambo region of the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
My name is Marion Shin. I'm a Democratic Alliance member of this portfolio committee.
Afternoon, all. I'm Renee Osborne Mullen, the researcher for the committee.
Afternoon, all. I'm Aziza Fredericks. I'm the CSR Parliamentary Liaison Manager.
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Rob Glennon from the National Research Foundation, here to support.
Honourable members, my name is Malapa Corbella from the Department of Science and Technology.
Virginia will be introduced by whoever is leading the delegation.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Kungya Ganjobe. I am a counselor on the National Advisory Committee on Innovation. I'm representing the council, but also in particular Dr. Steve Lennon, who is the chairperson of the council. I would like to convey his apologies. He couldn't make this meeting due to a board meeting he's attending at ESCOM. But we are very pleased to be here, and we're looking forward to sharing the report with you. There is another member of the council, but I'll allow her to introduce herself, as well as the head of the secretariat, whom I'm also going to give an opportunity to introduce herself, and the senior official from the council. Thank you very much, Chair.
My name is Professor Jennifer Thompson. I'm a member of the National Advisory Council on Innovation and a member of the subcommittee, National Biotechnology Advisory Committee.
My name is Nuzipho Buthelezi. I'm from the NACI Secretariat supporting the council.
My name is Krish Bharata. I recently came in to have the NACI Secretariat.
I see I've got some people at the back. Are they not with you?
Colleagues from the DSP, it's better they introduce themselves, Chair.
I said everybody must introduce it, because if you're not going to introduce yourself, then you must move out. If you want to go with us, we want to know who you are.
Good afternoon, all. My name is Sakiwo Kiso. I'm from the governance unit from the Department of Science and Technology.
Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Malukhulan Malapani. I am with the Department of Science and Technology. Thank you.
Afternoon, my name is Ntabiseng Mawela. I'm the PLO to the Deputy Minister of Science and Technology.
Ms. Tonsili, I'm working for PMT. PMT is a monitoring group. Thank you.
And then I think you know all of you, my secretary here is Shanaz. Shanaz Isaac is our committee secretary. Assisted by Mr. Mhlabela. So, without wasting time, let us hit the road running.
Thank you very much, Chair. Our presentation will be delivered by Professor Farosam, who is the head of the secretariat, and obviously we will, as members of council, take questions and address the matters of the committee.
I do not know the structure. The NAKI, the secretariat and what, let me know about it.
All right. Thank you very much, Chair. The NAKI consists of council members who are serving NAKI in a part-time capacity. So we come in as committee and we bring in our expert advice and to discuss various methodologies. We lead some of the research programs as well as workshops and et cetera. We are supported by secretariat, which has a head with a very senior official who in the person of professor. In terms of the act, NAKI Act, however, there is supposed to be a CEO who is actually the director general of the department. However, in practical terms, the head of secretariat is the head of day-to-day activities at the secretariat. So that's how it works. I'm aware, Chair, that there are developments in terms of amendment of the Act to address this matter of the DG as CEO of NAKI. There had been comment on it when NAKI
was of concern.
And concern.
A long-standing concern.
Yes.
Why the DG should be the CEO of NAKI. Because NAKI is supposed to actually advise both the DG and the
minister. And the minister, yes. Yes.
Yes.
So
that's why I want to understand now what has happened. There's been a lapse that I've not been in science and technology for about 1 year when I was in energy. So that's why I want to find out if things probably changed during that time, because I've never heard what you are talking about, right? I want to understand it in that context itself.
I think the issue, Chair, is that it's in the Act. So I think the Act has to be amended for then that change to happen. I think then there would have to be decision about the level of the head of secretariat and their role.
Right. Before, is the secretariat what used to be headed by Professor Pistorius? Is that the same thing or
no,
something different?
No. Professor Pistorius was the chair of council. And the role is currently played by Dr. Steve Lennon, who works for ESCOM on a day-to-day, but that role is held by him currently.
The secretariat is a full-time body?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's what I get you now.
Yes.
That's why I wanted to understand those two roles,
yes,
of the chair of council and the secretariat, where it comes in. Okay, then I understand. Okay.
We were having a bit of technical problems with computers, Chair. I hope members can view the presentation clearly, if we keep it in this mode.
Okay.
All right. I think we can proceed, Chair. Sorry, Prof.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much for the invitation to get up to the panel. Our annual report here. As you see, the cover of the annual report has its theme, Innovation to Protect Planet Earth. So in that enclosed sphere, what you see there is planet Earth, and the aim is to serve its people and its environment. The outline of the presentation, first, a brief discussion of the presentation of the mandate, then the NACI Council, who are the members on it, and then the perspective on the national system of innovation that NACI has done. And then we look at our outputs for the years 2009-10, then the NACI resources, the secretariat, the financial report, and then some comments on the way forward. Our mandate is to advise the Minister of Science and Technology and through her cabinet on the role and contribution of innovation in promoting and achieving national objectives. And the Act also defines what are the national objectives we should be directing our efforts towards. It's improving the quality of life of South Africans and promoting economic development and international competitiveness. It is also gives us direction on how the advice should focus, and it says it should be aimed at coordination and stimulation of the NSI, promotion of cooperation within the national system of innovation between the different role players. The advice should be on structure, governance, and coordination of the science and technology system, on division of innovation policy, on strategies for promotion of technological innovation, identification of R&D priorities, and funding of the science and technology system. As the leader of our delegation has said, NACI has a council. Its members' names are listed there: Dr. Steve Lennon from ESCOM, Professor Jennifer Thompson from UCT, Dr. Phil Mdwaha from the department is an ex-officio member of the council, as well as at the moment its designated CEO, Dr. Ntutuko Pengu, Prof. Cheryl Delarey, Vice Chancellor at University of Pretoria, Prof. Neo Maswai Maswi Tanga, who is also Vice Chancellor of CEPET. I won't go through all the names, but I think what you see there is a collection of captains of industry as well as leaders in the academic world. And then the main part of the council's work is actually done by advisory committees, and the NACI has five specialist advisory committees that assist council in generating advice. The National Biotechnology Advisory Committee, or known by its abbreviation, NBAC, the Science, Engineering and Technology for Women Committee, set for W, Indicators Reference Group, which goes by the acronym IRG, and the Innovation for Development Committee, InnoForDev. And then last year was set up a task team consisting of NACI plus the Center for Council for Higher Education. So NACI's advice that goes to the minister is a consensus view of councillors, which is extracted from discussions, workshops, and national and international studies. Firstly, then, our perspectives on the national system of innovation. And here we look at inputs, which is the general expenditure on research and development, or CERD. And then the outputs that we look at, metric pass rates, science, engineering, and technology graduates, science, engineering, and technology PhD graduates, what is our share of global research publications, the number of South Africa-originated United States patents, high-tech manufacturing exports, the knowledge-based workforce, and the full-time equivalent researchers that we have at the universities, and what are the conclusions that we can draw from this. So firstly, if we look at the input, on the first graph on the left, it shows you the R&D expenditure measured in billions of rand. And you can see there's been a steady increase from the figures from 1990 onwards. Our target for 2015 is 35.8 billion, and by 2018, the target is 53.1 billion. And then as a percentage of the GDP, that's represented on the graph on the right-hand side, lower right, and it says our target by 2015 is 1.5% of GDP, and by 2018, 2% of GDP. Output, here we saw plot the high grade passes in metric maps per year, and then on the left-hand side in percentage compared to all passes. And you can see that the percentage is below 8, so it's not a very encouraging performance. And then in 2008 and 9, of course, the higher grade and the standard grade maps were done away with, and so we had mathematics and maths literacy. And there the figures are. The percentage that passed mathematics at a percentage of 50%, 70% and above is about 5%, and those that passed metric maths at 50% is only 18% of the total meticulous sitting exams. Output, science, engineering, and technology graduates as a percentage of all graduates at the higher education institution, again represented on the plot on the left-hand side, and it shows a steady increase, and if it continues in that way, then we appear to be on track to reach our target of 35% by 2018. However, if you look at the higher level graduates, that is graduates coming out with a PhD in science, engineering, and technology, and you can see the results there, if you continue in that trend, then we'll fall well short of our target of 3,000 by 2018. So we expect, if the tendency continues, to be just about 1,000 PhD graduates per year in science and technology. If you look at publications and patents, the top left-hand corner, share of our global research publications, we have set a target of 1% of publications by, that should be 2018, so the dot is slightly moved. And if we continue with what the results are at the moment, then we'll be again short of that target. Similarly, if you look at the number of patents which have been registered in the US, but originating from work done in South Africa, then here again, we are around 100, 120, but if the tendency continues, then it seems to be decreasing rather than increasing to the target that we set of 250. Here we represent what is our output in terms of high technology manufacturing, and in the top left-hand corner, the blue plot or the blue line shows our total manufacturing output, and then the purple line at the bottom shows the high technology manufacturing output, and then when we convert this to as a percentage of the total manufacturing, that is represented by the red curve, and for that the scale is represented on the right hand side. So we are on between 6 and 6.5% of our total manufacturing output comes from the high technology sector. We then look at the percentage of workforce that are employed in the knowledge-based jobs. Our target for 2018 is 50%, and our percentage has been steadily increasing from just below 10 in 2001 to around 18-19% currently, and if that trend continues, then we see that we'll get to at best 25% by 2018. Here, if we now look at what is called a performance barometer of our performance against the goals that have been set, you see that if you look at the SET PhD graduates per year, we set a goal of 3,000. The projections are that we'll get to between 800 and 900. If you look at the number of SA-originated U.S. patents, we have a target of 250. Projections are that we'll get to about 125. The fraction of our workshop that's working in knowledge-based jobs, target is 50%. At the moment, we are heading towards between 19 and 28%. R&D expenditure as a percentage of GDP, we've set 2% as our target by 2018, and we'll probably get to 1.3%, maybe more with other monies coming into the system. If you look at full-time researchers, 10,000 of the workforce, at the moment, and the target has been set at 2.6, and the projections are if current trends continue, then we'd get to what, between 1.2 and 1.8%. If you look then at exports, high and medium high technology exports, as a percentage of all exports, the target is 55%, and we are on course to get to about 30 to 40%. The input into R&D, the target for 2018 is 53 billion rand, and if current trends continue, then we'd get to between 42 and 43 billion rand. The global share of research outputs, our target is 1.1%, and because of the fluctuations, the projections vary from 0.6% to 1.4%. The target for SET graduates as a percentage of all SGI graduates has been set at 35%, and we are on course to achieve that. So I think our overall performance towards achieving the targets in the 10-year plan, that should have been a red dot there. But in the areas that are shown in green, we are on course to meet our targets. Other areas will get some way towards meeting the target, perhaps 30% below target. And then the red circles represent areas where we are highly unlikely to meet our targets. Key outputs that are contained in our annual report, if you look at advice, the advice, sets of advice were delivered on implication of Africa and S&T bilateral agreements on SA economy and the national system of innovation, the impact of SA public understanding of South Africa's public understanding of biotechnology, the funding environment of biotechnology in South Africa, biotechnology capacity, comparative studies with other countries, the technology balance of payments as an indicator of science, technology and innovation, advice on the DST's 10-year innovation plan, and advice on the green paper on national strategic planning. NACI's advice on interaction with African counterparts in science and technology. Here, the advice proposed that the DST should develop an African S&T collaboration strategy, which would then guide collaboration activities of various players in our national system of innovation. The DST should prioritize support for collaborations on African institutions and countries, and so develop strength-to-strength partnerships. The DST should play a monitoring, coordinating, and expert advisory role in these partnerships. And the NRF approach, which is one size, well, there should be an F there, fits all, should be reviewed. And then the funding model for SDI policy support programs under the NRF needs to be established. The NACI advice on technology balance of payment. The apparent surge in South Africa's technology balance of payment prompted NACI to make inquiries into A, value and appropriateness of TBP as an STI indicator, and then B, evaluation of accuracy of SA-TBP data published by the OECD. Recommendations coming from these studies for the DST should request the South African Reserve Bank to publish TBD data regularly or provide data directly to the department. And then the DST should liaise with the South African Reserve Bank to supply the OECD with comprehensive TBD data. The DST should provide the South African Reserve Bank with a list of companies with inter-border transactions. And then the recommendations were also on factors that fuel high TBB deficit should be identified and addressed. And then the recommendation was also made that we should disaggregate TBD data to formulate appropriate recommendations for each sector of the TBB system. on the biotechnology sector, NACI gave advice to government on, or to the DST on development and retention of human capital for biotechnology, and included in these recommendations the suggestion that career pathways be improved so as to increase, bring about an increase in the number of available jobs, try and provide personal tax incentives, and then also have specially biotech-focused research grants. And the DST should encourage support for biotechnology through the BTI STIP program. Advice was also offered on government leadership in the development of a SA biotechnology sector. And here, we requested our reporting department, DST, to facilitate meetings of our National Biotechnology Advisory Committee with officials from the Departments of Health and of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fishery. And then also the DST should facilitate government or interdepartmental interaction so that government can establish a monitoring and evaluation system for the biotechnology sector. And we also recommended that the DST compile a biennial electronic database for all relevant biotech funders and supporters. Biotechnology advice was also given on SA public perception of biotechnology, on targeted government support and cluster development for national biotechnology sector growth, as well as government support for biotechnology commercialization. And the details of these advice appear on page 28 of the annual report. The NACI advice, or NACI's view on DST's 10-year innovation plan, cost estimates should be included in the implementation plan, and grand challenges that are included in the DST's 10-year plan should be prioritized over the medium-term strategic framework. And then a strong recommendation that the plan should be adopted by government as a cross-cutting strategic framework. And then DST as custodian should ensure that priorities in the plan are congruent with the priority areas of other line departments. And then the report, the annual report, contains reports of the activities of the various NACI committees. In the case of the National Biotechnology Advisory Committee, the committee held 3 business meetings plus 2 extraordinary meetings for the year and a one-day workshop on policies and strategies to create and sustain knowledge base and support commercialization, to develop systemic support across the value chain, and to develop advice on coordination and monitoring of the biotechnology innovation system. Research work that was undertaken or recommended and then approved by Council and then undertaken by NACI included a comparative study of biotechnology capacity, the funding environment for biotechnology research and development, and the impact of public understanding of biotechnology. And all the findings of these research work were then used to develop ministerial advice. The Step for Women Committee held 3 business meetings and a strategic planning session. And during the past year, it came up, or during the year under review, it came up with 3 publications, Facing the Facts, Women's Participation in Science, Engineering, and Technology, the Good Practice Guidelines for Enhancing the Participation of Women in Science, Engineering, and Technology, and Changing Perceptions of Women in SET. The Indicators Reference Group had 3 business meetings and a workshop on measuring and monitoring innovation in South Africa. It published the South African Science and Technology Indicators, 2009, and then the research that it proposed and which NACI undertook, an assessment of key databases supporting the South African STI indicator system, and an assessment of the value of technology balance of payments as an indicator of the knowledge-based economy. And then the Innovation for Development Committee had 3 business meetings, a workshop of innovation experts, which was directed at identifying key drivers of innovation and key and early key priority areas, with the aim of developing an initial framework for innovation for development research. It proposed and actually then carried out this best international innovation projects relevant to South Africa, establishment of low-hanging fruit through engagement with city labs and related organizations, and the impact of South Africa's poverty programs on social challenges. And this is government poverty programs. NACI committee reports. The NACI CSG task team had 2 business meetings, and it initiated research into the following policy in the following areas.
What does CSG stand for?
Council for Higher Education. And the research areas and assessment of demand for skills by the business sector, and then funding instruments for SET human capital. The impact of NACI's advices, which was then determined by one-to-one interaction with senior officials at the DST. Contribution to the pool of knowledge in the DST and or incidental utilization, number of projects too, utilization as a supportive or substantive contribution to development or strategy, a policy, 19, and advice, set of advices not utilized in any way, 5. So 19 out of 26 sets of advice were utilized by the department in supportive or substantive way. And then the impact of the advice over the 5-year period, 2004-09, 19 sets of advice are utilized in policy and or strategic development in the period 2004-09, and the details of these sets of advice are given on page 24-25. Our financial report, NACI funding for the year and the review came from the DSE's Program 1 administration, and our expenditure, administration, and compliance with PFMA were and are dealt with by the DST's Human Resources and Finance Divisions. And what's listed there, our expenditure for 2009-10, which amounted to 13,785,000 rand, a substantial increase from the previous year, but largely due to relocation of the NACI office from the DST to premises in Persico Park, Techno Park in September 2009, and therein are listed the main items of expenditure, our expenditure in 2009-10, and our expenditure in 2008-09. The NACI Secretariat at the moment has a head who assumed duty on the 1st of July this year, and then has 4 senior policy analysts. One of them, Dr. Bahrain, left at the end of June to take up a position in the presidency, in the monitoring department of the presidency. That position has been advertised, interviews have been held, and the process is going through the DST before an appointment can be made. We have 4 policy analysts and 3 admin officers. The way forward for NACI, amendment to the NACI Act, independence, both of NACI and of its advice, and also in order to optimize influence and its reach. There has to be some alignment and engagement to the National Planning Commission. No meetings have taken place yet, but we've been in contact with the person, Mr. Kuben Naidu, who is heading the Planning Commission Secretariat, and he's due to address the next meeting of Council on the work and workings of the Planning Commission and how it will interact with NACI. Also, NACI plans to develop advice on broad-based innovation to address the country's socioeconomic challenges, advice on funding of SET human capital development, on strategies to improve participation of women in science, engineering, and technology, on progress in the national system of innovation based on the most recent STI indicators, on top priorities of the DST in contributing to national goals, on renewable energy research and development, on effective innovation and policy interventions. Also, I think a big challenge to NACI is its profile and stature, and this needs to be given greater prominence. And our proposal is to, our plan is to develop in-house expertise, so major parts of the research that we outsource at the moment can be done in-house, and also to develop capacity for policy research. So proposal or some of our thoughts are developing a national center or an institute of policy studies and governance. Discussions on this point have been held with the Director General in the Department of Science and Technology, as well as with the CEO of the NRF, and a meeting of the DG plus the CEO of NRF and of the head of the NACI Secretariat is scheduled to take place in November. Finally then, Mr. Chan, thank you in our various languages. And if I add the language of the delegation that you just met, I should perhaps add good hafiz in God be thanked. Thank you.
Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
That means 7 short.
Well,
if you include the one that you are just talking about now.
Well, plus the Hindi and Urdu for the Indian and Muslim community.
Okay, thank you very much. Without wasting time, I'll allow members to interact with you on the report. I've got a hand already up there. Honorable Shin, Honorable Dunn, you have second in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. A couple of concerns that I have about the information that's in your annual report indicates to me that, you know, we're going to fall very short of most of the targets for in the 10-year innovation plan. And I'm just wanting to know whether you think this is because the 10-year innovation plan was perhaps over-optimistic about what we could achieve with the resources and the sort of education backlogs and all of that sort of stuff that we have, and did we set ourselves up for failure at that stage? Because it, you know, it really is quite sad on, you know, what we can achieve with matriculants and university chairs and graduates and all of that sort of thing. It really is. And what do we do about that? Do we actually become realistic about resetting the targets, or whatever? How do we fast-track all the graduates? The other thing was, I don't think I saw it here, but I understand that there's a strategy for South Africa to become one of the world's top 3 biotechnology countries by 2018. Do we have any chance of reaching that? Then you talked about being concerned about the balance of payment figures published by the OECD. Can you explain what that concern is about the figures that were published? Also, what is your current budget, your funding allocation for the current year? Have you been instructed to make some cuts? Quickly on... In the budget speech earlier this year, because I said that perhaps the minister should look at some of his strategies and decide what is really relevant for South Africa, and I see that you indicated within the grand challenges that perhaps these should be re-looked at, and you asked, for example, South Africa should explore fundamental research questions outlined in the space grand challenge, or should it pursue the sustainable development energy in the energy grand challenge. Should we be looking at those grand challenges? Also, the minister has appointed a review committee for science, technology, and innovation. I see there's only one person from NACI on that committee. as you spent most of your time advising the minister, this seems to be a little, I think, short-changed here. Is this because the minister already has all your information? And is how well is that going to be used? If you could give us some indication of the input NACI will be making to the Ministerial Review Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Shadow Minister. This is the Shadow Minister, by the way. Of Science and Technology in the
CMA. Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the report from NACI, which is understandable, simple, but with some of the issues that I will raise. My premise will come from, my question will be more based on the challenges that the country is facing in terms of science and technology, with the understanding that it is an area where majority of our people didn't afford to be part of that, and therefore that is why the ANC-led government will always be interested in institutions and units of your and entities of your nature on how best then to improve the situation. Obviously, it is a situation, Chair, that cannot be improved over 16 years, because it's decades and decades that science has always been a domain of the few rich, white, and therefore, I always say to the Chair, my endeavor is to demystify the science language and understanding. My question is the South African public perception on biotechnology. What are those perceptions? What are those perceptions that and in the strata of our community, which one has got this perception? So that we really understand as we are moving forward in doing our oversight work in this area. The other area, Chair, it's only that this document is at times it's upside down. Okay. The Department of Education working with the Department of Science and Technology in terms of ensuring that it assists students and pupils, there is a project called Denality Project. Now, what is the impact in your own assessment and observation? What is the impact of that? Is it assisting in changing, if I understand this, is it assisting in changing the past rates? And how then are you intending advising both the Ministry of Higher of Basic Education and Science and Technology in improving in this area? I'm raising that because in your slide that talks about metric mathematics passes, you are reflecting that there is no movement, whereas our understanding that we know the government inherited a caliber of young women and boys, and that is why then the Denality schools and other projects. But will I be correct to then say there is no impact that is expected, that the expectations, because that is what you, and that's why the question is, what advice then are you to give to these ministries on ensuring that something is being done? Otherwise, I do think that at least this report is giving us more insight and also in an understanding on these issues that you have raised. So those are the few questions, Shay, and the remarks that one has made. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think my question has been asked by Honorable Dunja. That relates to, okay, let me, I looked at the mandate of NICHE, which is that of advising the minister, and I looked at that table, that graph, where it shows the percentages. I observed that there's a fluctuation, especially on the past for students that are doing mathematics on a higher grade. The percentage there fluctuates, and it's just, even if it fluctuates, it's so low. And when it comes to the path with 70%, it declines, it goes down. The same applies to the 50%. In line with your mandate, what is it that you are doing, especially to the minister? Because you have picked up this, you have observed that this is what is happening. And in the light that you have to ensure that and encourage the learners to follow the science and maths so as to become engineers and technicians, I think. So what role is it that you're doing? The other one that I wanted to ask, I think it's been asked by Honorable Sim, that one. Relate or in line with the budget, if NICHE does have its budget, and if it does, how did it perform? If they were ever the unit was ever being audited, how did it perform? If it does have a budget of sex or whatever.
Because I've got a number of questions, I think it is better that you answer these ones now, and then we engage on the questions that I have.
Very much. I think we're going to try and answer them in sequence. There may be some common answers to some of the questions, indeed, because I think some of these issues are more fundamental issues, and the answer is actually one set of interventions. I will take the question around the trend in relation to meeting the 10-year innovation plan, the targets in the 10-year innovation plan, and I'll ask Professor Thompson to take the question on the bioeconomy. And then we'll attempt to talk, none of us are very intimately familiar with the technology balance of payments. Perhaps just to say, maybe the short answer is that I think what prompted the question was the actual spike in the trend. And that's why there was then a question, is this an accurate figure? Or there's something we need to look at. And I think it's come up with very good recommendations. And I know the group that has been working on this, the Indicators Reference Group, is actually going to be working very closely with the South African Reserve Bank on these issues. Already that South Africa is also involved in that group. So I think it's going to lead to much better collaboration and perhaps because what happens is that that data is sent, is collected by the OECD directly, and we tend to then take the data from OECD statistics. So I think that's what prompted the question there. So maybe that's covered. Prof. Chris, you will take on issues on the budget. And then I just have to reflect a little bit on the grand challenges. On the review committee, I'm not sure if we've got a good answer there. maybe that's another short one to say that maybe it's perhaps, let me put it this way. I think that in Professor De La Rey, there is a very strong link. She is one of the longest serving members of NICHE, so she knows the history. what in the latest council meeting, in fact, it happened a couple of days ago, we actually deliberated quite extensively on the input that NACHI as a committee will be making to that committee itself. So there is a coordination of what all NACHI knows from the research it's done and the report and the advice given, and then it will be forwarded very systemically to that particular committee. So you want to say something about
that? Yeah, I just want to add that the chairman of the NACHI Council has made a presentation to the ministerial committee, and they will then come back to us on information or research that we've done, so we can supply them with the appropriate documents.
Thank you. And then I think we'll all attempt to answer the questions around the participation, or I suppose, of previously disadvantaged in science, and how do we demystify science. I think we can all say something, but also I think the key question is what is it that we're doing in terms of advising the minister. So I'll attempt to answer that, and then the role of Dina Lady, we'll also all try to answer that. I think there's also another question on, and then I'll ask Prof. of course to take questions on the budget once again. Perhaps just to start around the trends that we're seeing in terms of the targets that are in the 10-year innovation plan. I think on the face of it, we can make the comment that those are ambitious targets, but I think maybe the correct thing to say is that the countries that we're competing with are performing at the levels at which those targets, in fact, even greater levels at which those targets are set. So the question is, can we afford not to aim for those levels of performance? And so the question is not a straightforward one of saying we revise them down, but the question is, what is our vision for the country? And one of the things we've been doing in NACHI is actually look at how can we do things better in the system, because maybe the question is about how the system can perform better, maybe perhaps to achieve some of these targets. It's very clear that we're very far away from many of, from quite a lot of these targets, but I think part of our effort in the next couple of years is to also interrogate the manner in which we do things, the efficiencies in the system. A huge gap in terms of those targets is the coordination of the system and how, to what extent is it working together to achieve targets like those. And there is a strong proposal currently on the table to the minister. I understand already she's actually started pulling together a ministerial committee on science, technology, and innovation. So there is that strong proposal around getting the relevant players in the national system of innovation to work a lot much closer together on these things. Obviously, there are other external factors. For example, the spend on R&D is very much dependent, yes, as well on the economic growth of the country. And some of that is not quite in, you know, control of the system, even the national system of innovation itself. We all know what the global economic recession did, which was way beyond even a country like ours. So you'll get external sectors like those. So to answer your question, I think the value of that picture is that we can then start that conversation about, are we aiming too high? What should we do? Should we revise them down? Should we be doing things differently? And what are those things we need to be doing differently? And I think that is an ongoing debate. I know that is taking place within NACHI itself currently. So I hope that kind of gives you a perspective of where the thinking is at the moment.
Your second question on South Africa becoming one of the three top biotech countries, I think that's been quietly dropped. It was not very realistic at the start. But I will tell you that we've had some very interesting workshops. The one that mentioned here was rather vague and general, and what it developed into this year was a highly specific question-based workshop that we held a couple of weeks ago, looking at gaps in the pipeline. And it's very clear where the gaps are. And one of the gaps is actually in jobs, opportunities. And one of the problems is related to the Technology Innovation Agency, which is still in its throes of getting developed. But in the process of it being developed, the four biotechnology innovation centers were closed. So people in the biotechnology pipeline coming into the job market see very little prospect of a longer-term future at the moment because it's all so much in abeyance. And I'm seeing a hemorrhaging of jobs. People coming out, it's all very well to push through 6,000 PhDs a year, but in our field, in biotechnology, they're not getting jobs. So this is a huge problem that we need to address. And the other problem is related to the regulatory framework for introduction of genetically modified organisms, and there are problems there that the minister has been made aware of and will be addressing. But those two problems of getting people into the pipeline and getting products into the pipeline, if there's a hemorrhage there, then we're never going to have a biotechnology country or one of the leading players. And then your question,
can I? Yeah, sure.
On public perception, that was a huge wake-up call. I mean, the public perception is almost non-existent. And people, particularly in the rural areas, do not know what this vague word biotechnology. So it was a wake-up call for us. And we have to, and one of our projects at the moment is looking at the media and how we can use the media to inform people on biotechnology, because the less they know, the more afraid they are of a new technology, and that's quite understandable. But it's a very good question, because it was a wake-up call for us.
Thank you. I'll take the question on the budget, because it's a very easy question. The auditing of the NACI budget, as I said, NACI for finance management, is treated as a department within the DST sub-department. So my good friend, the chief finance officer at the DST, sees to it that we follow the dictates of the PFMA quite strictly. So we don't have a separate audited finance statement. It's included within that of the Department of Science and Technology. The second question was on the relating to budget, was the NACI budget for the current year and going forward. No, it hasn't increased, because up to the time of my taking on position of the head of NACI, it was a much lower ranked position and hadn't been filled for the last two and a half years. So my position has created an extra item in the budget. But also going forward, as I said, our plans for the future are to put in place some in-house expertise so that we can do some of the research that we now outsource within the organization. And this means increasing the number of positions that we have in the DST, in NACI. So a request for the additional person has gone to the HR division of the DST.
I just wanted to then come back to the advice we gave on the grand challenges. Perhaps just by way of background, the Minister Pandor, at the time she started in a role, she wanted to ensure herself that what was outlined in the 10-year innovation plan was also reflective of what the priorities of then the new government is. And so tasked NACI to advise her on whether there is an alignment between the two. What we were able to do, of course, was to do an analysis in relation to the 10-year plan at a high level, because at that time, and I think it's still an ongoing process, there were no implementation plans yet detailed. And I think one of the findings the outcomes of this exercise was that there would be a need to actually do that analysis again once the implementation plans are detailed. I think part of the question of the advice putting forward about possible review is to ensure that what was outlined at a high level in terms of the grand challenges of the 10-year plan reflected and was assisting the current government in terms of what the current challenges are. In other words, try and make sure that there's alignment and not answer at a DCL, at an implementation level, things that are not quite as urgent as they are. So we're advising for prioritization that also responds while also putting us in a position in 10 years' time to be a player in knowledge economy, but at the same time be responsive to issues of the day. So that was really what we were asking. We didn't really make very specific recommendations as to what needs to be specifically reviewed, other than there needs to be those questions asked. I think that's what we're trying to do here. There. I think there are a couple of questions then that relate to. You want to take those there? Thanks. Can you take all of them then for us? Thanks.
I think the question about the Dinner Lady schools, I think they've been a dramatic success. But now our challenge is to be able to replicate that on a nationwide scale, which obviously is going to take a lot of funding, but also it would require developing teachers of the required skills. And so that's a huge challenge. And what I've been pleased to note in recent times is that the Department of Higher Education and the Department of Science and Technology is getting closer together in trying to find answers to some of the problems that are confronting us. Now, one of the main problems confronting us, if you look at that plot that I showed there, while we are on course to turn out the number of graduates, that's first degree graduates that we have in science, engineering, and technology, it's in the postgraduate area that we are failing. And so we need to look at that system very carefully. There's a huge drop from people coming out with a first degree from university to the total number of students that go on to do the honors study and therefore the master's and the PhD. There's a factor of more than 3 or 4 drop there. So that we need to look at very carefully. And as I've said, there is closer now realization that we have to work together. And in most of our recommendations that have gone to the minister, they've included where there are cross-cutting responsibilities, the ministers and the officials of those departments should work together so we have a coordinated national solution to our problems. And I'm pleased to report that at the last meeting that we had of NACI CHE task team, that the Director General from the Department of Higher Education and Training came and made a presentation there.
I don't know the question. Yeah. Right. I think now it's my turn. Yeah. Okay.
Will it be possible? I'm sure you won't be able to respond now. That's why I want to make that request. Would it be possible for NACI to just give us a detailed data on the basis of the dropouts in terms of race, in terms of gender, and obviously in terms of class? Because we can't run away from that. Who are those who are dropping out and due to socioeconomic factors or whatever? I'm saying if not now, if one is then able to pick up and request that, because it's very important. Same applies with Dinner Lady schools. Maybe it is not for you. One will get that in the Department of Education because it's quite disturbing. Maybe in our interaction with the Department of Basic Education, we will get that data, but it is the initial one which one would be very much interested in. Thank you.
Okay. Do you need to respond to that quick?
Just to say it's an excellent suggestion, and we will certainly take that on board and set things in motion to get that data.
Okay. Right. First question from my side. Looking at this data you have set, I mean these targets are set out for 2018. First, I wanted to know criteria did you use to have those data that, I mean, those targets that by 2018, this is what we want to have based on what? What informed you to have those figures? For instance, when you talk about 3,000, why not 5,000? Why not 10,000? And so forth. Right. Where you have the data, 35%, why not 50%? Why not 70%? So, that's my first question. What criteria did you use that led you to those specific figures for each of those categories that you have analyzed? Second, you said that the NRF model needs some revision. What did you mean? In what sense? Because revision is general. Whether you want to revise who it funds, how it funds, how much minimum, and so forth. What's revision we're talking about? Subsequently, as I go down, you'll see why I am asking that question. There was in your finance figures, there is where you said that money went for the compensation of employees. It's the salary. Compensation on what? Because you see, there are handshakes, there are other things and all, so we need to be sure what were the compensations. That maybe you said, no, you must go, but we'll give you money because we need you out of the system. You see. So we need to be clear here because just compensation does not really tell us what compensation is all about. Well, as NAC, you have a very big role to play. As far as I'm concerned, you are not only actually advising the Minister of Science and Technology, but you are actually advising the Cabinet, because the Minister has to take this to the Cabinet, and the Cabinet has to approve this, and actually some of those things have to come to Parliament if they need some kind of policy, making around them. So you are actually not only advising the minister, not the cabinet, but you are also advising Parliament, and therefore the nation. So now I have not heard, there are very pressing issues here in South Africa, which I think that demand of a body like yourself. To really be leading the way. One of the important things these days, I'll tell you, is the space technology and climate change. You know, I would have expected that your report would be covering, because this is a very important area. In South Africa next year, it will be hosting the COP 17. This year we're going to Mexico. Next year we're coming to South Africa, and it is the last one before the United Nations 2012 UNFCCC. And I would expected that by now you have developed a lot of thinking around all these problems that we, the challenges that we face in Copenhagen, and even you have set up some kind of instruments that are going to monitor the Mexican conference as for the preparation of the COP17 in South Africa. I have not seen anything around that yet in your report. But also, I'm just coming from the Space Technology Conference in Prague. The next space conference of that big nature, where all space agencies of the world are present, and their heads, they were all of them there, who are even cosmonauts that stay in space, they were all there. And they are coming to South Africa next year. And I have not heard anything that the NACI is preparing to brief the cabinet for that matter through the Minister of Science and Technology about this very important expectation by the world next year here and beyond, of course, because it's not only for next year, but it is important that for the first time it's coming to South Africa. It's going to be the 62nd Congress after this one, which was the 61st. And there will be very, very powerful people, and I would have expected that NACI is already is informed of this and is actually working towards briefing the Minister and the Cabinet on these issues. Again, on space technology, we have a problem already that has been registered by CSIR through its Satellite Application Center about the Sumandila that is up there. And it's a very big outcry, and we expect that NACI would have already started looking into actually advising the minister what next for the problems that are there with Sumbandila. These are some of the things that NACI is supposed to really assist with. And I have not seen anything related to that here in this report. Well, there is another problem on space technology, the Space Council. The Space Council, with the establishment of Space Agency by an act of parliament, I am sure that there is a very big gap which NACI is supposed to be tackling in terms of bringing the Space Council in line with the development of the legislation on Space Agency and our future ambitions on space technology in the Department of Science and Technology. And the Space Council is floating alone under the Department of Trade and Industry. How does this happen? How do you coordinate? Actually, you'll see, even now, if you did not attend to that, it's going to be a nightmare next year. Because the Space Council is the affiliate of this international astronautical body, which is bringing its congress here in South Africa next year. Now, you will have a problem where the Minister of Science and Technology may not have a role because the Space Council will tell her that actually they belong under Trade and Industry, so it should be Trade and Industry that organizes this conference. And the Trade and Industry has no competence in matters of science and technology, by the way. And then there will be a nightmare. And unless you intervene in good time now, then we will be a chaotic state in the eyes of those people next year. See? Now, the other thing that I would like to understand is, what is the role of the new panel of advisors to the minister versus NACI? Because I thought NACI is supposed to exactly do this. I've seen a list of new announcements that now there's a panel of advisors that advise the Minister of Science and Technology. And I ask myself, then what about NACI? And who is doing what where? Or it is just a matter of giving jobs to other people? I don't know. We will have to tell us as Parliament. That's why I said I'm going to engage you. And I'm engaging you. I've got a list of these engagements. Now, you, as I said, as I go down, you'll find some of what I've just said reflecting. I am at a level where now you said that NRF funding needs to be revised. I agree with you totally. But it's just that you did not say in what length. But I can tell you the first thing. The first thing that NRF funding should be revised is about the PhD project. The PhD project cannot be realized as long as the vast majority of people come from disadvantaged families and they have to feed their families when they finish by chance the first degree, because it's by chance within the first degree if they are able. Now, for them to go a step further into research, it's too much to ask for in the poor families who rely in their last pension monies and borrowed monies to produce a graduate. That the graduate must not start feeding back and belong back at home for groceries and for bringing up children from basic education, and he must continue with research. Too much. Unless we revise funding and NRF along these lines. Actually, I've discussed with NRF people responsible for this area. One of the things they suggested to me, which I think I should suggest to you to look into, is that there are many pockets of funding around departments on skills development, but which are not making any meaningful impact because, first, they are not very well organized, because those people in those departments, they don't know, actually, they do not have the competency of what is needed in skilling the workforce of South Africa for the development of information society and knowledge economy. You see? And therefore, those pockets that are lying around of those funds put together, they can make a very big pool. That pool must go to NRF. It should be NRF that is actually direct skills development and human capital in knowledge economy. Indeed. Yes, I'm very happy that you are with me. You see, that is exactly what is important when you come to Parliament, because we look into all these things. And these are ideas, when you go back, you have to think about it, because this is how we can change society. And some of the problems that we have are changeable. They are not as difficult as one thinks, but it's just that they are not properly organized. This is one of the things that I have discussed, which I found making sense to me. And here in Parliament, we sit with a number of entities coming here to say things in duplicate, and therefore weakening the strength of the impact of what they want to do. And if you as NARCI can advise the minister that, look, in the cabinet they must discuss that all these pockets of money about skills development within departments or within the area should be channeled through one professional body which has got the personnel and skill and competency to deal with these issues, to deal with those issues, and therefore that money be, the value for money be realized. Right. Then biotech strategy. Biotechnology, people often umbrella it as just one single hat. It's not. There is no problem in biotechnology in society when it is helping with medicines and other things. But the problem is about technology, when you start to talk about it in terms of food, then people start to say GMOs, no. Then there start to be a divide. Cloning, no, you see. But you see, there is no biotechnology nobody is worried about when it is simply doing ordinary things. In fact, most of the process, they are a product of our technology. But it is when it goes to those tapped areas where society is sensitive, and probably even governments, where we need to be careful and develop a policy. We do not have a straight policy. You know, I was asked in one, I was invited in one seminar, which was an international seminar. They said, what is the policy of South Africa on biotechnology, GMOs, and things like this? I said, well, Parliament is still looking into developing a sound policy derived from the successful story of the world. I did not want to commit myself, you see. That's how I put it, you see. But I realized that I do not have a clear-cut policy on biotechnology, although I know that the department is having a biotechnology strategy, is having a biotechnology advisory council, but I am not aware myself of a straight legislated policy on biotechnology in terms of the very sensitive issues. So I want to understand what are you doing in that line. On renewable energy. Next, again, I'm coming back to the responsibilities that are squarely put on South Africa. Next year, the international, the COP17, as I said, is coming to South Africa. So there are two big conferences next year in South Africa. Is this Astronomical Congress of Space Technology, and is the COP17 on climate change. This year we're going to Mexico. And one of the things when we visited CSIR, we found that there are a lot of pocket researchers on solar energy, on battery technology, on that, very uncoordinated insofar as I observed. Each one doing his or her possibility of having some market around his or her own technological effort. Can't be right. It can't be right. I said that I even got an award for sitting the whole 2 days listening to them. They said they have never had the chair sit like this and really interrogate all these things. I asked them one question when they modeled the wind atlases. I said, your wind atlases seem to be going only inland, but we are surrounded by very powerful stormy oceans. Why have you not extended your research into the ocean where we can get a lot of energy from the ocean? I had in mind when we went to Copenhagen, they have developed a wind farm in the sea which gives 17 megawatts of energy. Then I said, our seas, our oceans, they're even more violent than that one. How much megawatts we would get there just for the sake of renewable energy, as we are talking about it, with the climate change conference coming to South Africa next year. But these are issues also I even have raised in the International Commission. I said I'm still worried why Africa, surrounded by so many oceans, but they've done nothing in terms of harnessing energy from the storms of these oceans. And it was very much well taken in the International Commission, you see. And you know the answer that I got from CSIR? You know what they said? They said, unfortunately, when you see us, that's where our pockets go far. They go as far as that in having the capital to do that research. Had we more money, we could have gone into those oceans, because we then need boats, we need a lot of funding to go into there. Otherwise, there is a lot of resource and reserves are waiting in line there, but who is going to give us money to go there? We are taking from the list that we have in our pockets. That's what they said. True. And you are the NAPI, you are supposed to be thinking, how can we then put together or tell the minister to organize some funds to get these people into the ocean to harness this amount of energy that is lying around unutilized? This is the role of NAC, actually. You see. Right. And then I come to Nuke. With South Africa having a 387 billion rand built project for electricity up to 2017, that is the budget that Eskom has, and I have understood that the energy mix includes nuclear, and at least for a start, as far as I know, the government is busy giving or tendering people who can build at least in the first initial project, also harnessing the expectation of the international community in terms of clean energy. Two nuclear power stations. PBMR has failed, as I always predicted. It's unfortunate that I was not listening to what problem I had seen. But it has now, people have come to understand that it has not failed because it is a bad technology, but it's because it was based on bad planning. And that is out of effect even when I started. Yes, and management, all those kinds of things. Right. Now, Nagi, from with the experience that has happened in PBMR, which is still going to happen even in nuclear, because the success of Kubert's story, it's because it has been managed by very professional people. That's why it has succeeded until today. Now, we need NAKI with the Department of Science and Technology, having been tasked to be responsible for things like nuclear and other things now, at least to help, because it has competence. Then now it falls directly to NAKI that mistakes should never happen with a second lot of nuclear, you know, engagement. So now it's supposed to already develop, you know, standards to safeguard the government that it doesn't go into the, to the well, which it went into about PBMR. And I have not seen anything in this report, at least looking into this. You see, these are some of the things which are only offing. But I've also not seen what NAKI is saying, because that bill program of Eskom leading towards 2017, there are actually expectations in the international international community about 2020, which we have already made commitments of last year in Copenhagen, that we will look at, we will have cut our gas emissions by 43% and so forth. Now, 2020 compared with the 2017 bill program of mainly fossil fuel fuels, by the way. Eskom's bill program is mainly based on fossil fuels, with only two nuclear power stations in that offing. And very little, as I'm saying, on renewable energy, with all the wind farms in the field left alone. Now they're supposed to be saying something already about that. See, that how on earth do we expect to meet those targets of 2020 when Eskom will be building fossil fuel based program projects until 2017? Right? You see, and then.
Yes,
sorry.
Can I take some of your questions?
Oh, okay. I said there are very many. And I think this is the essence of what NAC is supposed to be focused
on. Okay, then let me start on the energy issue.
Yeah.
The Department of Energy just released the IRP2 document on Friday of last week. I think the Department of Energy released the IRP2 document on Friday of last week, which is the Integrated Research Resource Plan. And that is still going out for comments before it is finalized. But what that plan advocates is 16% nuclear and 18% of our energy by 2032 will be renewable energy sources. And it's also saying that coal would be reduced to 48%. So from over 90% to 48 is a big, big change. As far as the nuclear goes, now I speak not with the NACI hat, but I'm also chair of the Education Committee of the Nuclear Industry Association of South Africa. And we've just made some predictions of what are the skills that the country is going to need in order to have a viable nuclear energy program in South Africa that is safe, secure, and has a large percentage of local manufacture. We've used two scenarios. One is that we'll have 10 gigawatts additional by 2032. The other one is a bit more aggressive and goes to 90 gigawatts. So we've done the resource planning for that. What we're waiting for is the IRP document to come out officially, I mean get print, and see exactly what energy, in terms of energy units, what is in the plan, then we'll go back and revisit our plan. At the moment, we're already working on capacity development program for the industry. We have a coordinated university program on nuclear engineering, energy engineering, and we're busy trying to get all the DUTs, the universities of technologies, and other universities that don't have engineering department to look at the underskills required. Science and technology skills required for the energy industry. So I think that we are trying to address, and it's at the start. The second, your other question about the International Astronautical Congress, which is coming here next year, I'm aware of that. In fact, I led the South African team that made the bid to host it. And I'm pleased that the bid won. It's coming to Cape Town, and it's being Peter Martinez is handling the organization of it. And the DG was at the meeting, in fact, from the Department of Science and Technology. The DTI is putting in funding into it. But the organization, I think there's an organization committee that will have DST as well as DTI members on it. I'll have to check with Peter Martinez, who is his.
Well, as far as I have understood, it will be organized by DTI, which is a, and there was even a problem down there.
But this is one of the problems we have. I mean, in all our recommendations, whether it's biotechnology or in education, there is a strong recommendation that there should be a coordinated approach. Our national priorities should be identified, and all the cross-cutting departments involved in it should sit at the one meeting and come out with a national plan. And then we can see which department then takes responsibility for different aspects of the plan.
Chair, thank you very much. You have really engaged us. Quite a comprehensive set of questions, and we probably won't do justice to it. I think a lot of them on climate, on energy, on space, perhaps with the exception of energy, where there's NACI is only beginning to engage with the issue. And I think what you've done with the questions you've posed is to assist us in scoping where NACI could possibly intervene. So you're correct, it's not in this current report, but in this particular year we're in, there's an agenda on renewable energy, and I think full council will feedback the kind of questions, strategic questions you've asked. Climate change, I think there has been interaction on that issue. However, it was viewed that because of the National Committee on Climate, with all the stakeholders, perhaps, that the advice space is already covered. But again, we'll give feedback to Council as to the comments received here. I should also concede that on space, we haven't really engaged it as NACI, and I think, again, once again, we'll send back those questions. I just wanted to clarify our statement on NRF. We didn't do an NRF full review of funding. The comment was made in relation to how it funds collaboration with African countries based on the bilateral agreements we have. And what we were saying was that on the one-size-fits-all model is that perhaps the best way is to actually work, do status reports first in terms of what the scenarios in different countries and tailor funding appropriately. So I just want to clarify, lest it's thought that there's some kind of a review, but I do understand that there's an ongoing international review or will take place of the NRF. So perhaps that's where maybe much of the strategic questions around the functioning of the NRF can be best answered, but it's not done by NACI. Let me just see. I'm going to ask Professor Thompson to talk to the biotech strategy. I think I've covered in large parts many of the questions, maybe with very short answers, but maybe to assure you that they will be fed back to council.
Yes, Chair, I enjoyed your comments very much. Thank you. We will take them forward, and you have engaged us very productively. Thank you for that. On the biotechnology, there is a biotechnology, a GMO Act, which has been revised, regulations which have been revised. There is a body in the Department of Agriculture that manages it. There is a multi-departmental executive committee that makes decisions, and there is a registrar, so there is a... But you're quite right. As soon as it comes to food, it's too emotive. Medicine is easy, but food is very emotive, and we're very aware of that. Thank you.
Well, I'm very worried. You see, myself, I am not given a chance to ask questions, and when my time comes, my members become emotional that I shouldn't ask the question, but I allow everybody to ask questions and to even repeat, but myself, as if my in contribution is valueless. I say, time when I'm supposed to ask you, even when I say it's my turn, I say, no, please first give us a chance. And when time has gone, they say, there's no time for you.
Can we defend
ourselves? No, it's not. It's unfair. I still have at least 4 questions remaining here, which are very important, because when you come to Parliament, you are not coming for touring. You are coming to get ideas which you must go back and implement if they are useful, you see. Now, for me to be harassed, when I was not given time, it's totally unfair to the chair, you see, really. I think VCT will tolerate, as long as we are trying to beef up the science system, he will be able even to miss some minutes for his time, I'm sure, as long as it's going to make his department better, you see. But I'm being harassed by my own colleagues that I'm waiting now time. But I have given them time that I didn't worry about any point. It's unfair, my honorable members. But I won't ask this question. Now I'll discuss privately with DG the last questions that I had. But I thought the questions that they are asked here, they are useful for all of us to reflect on them and have more ideas about them. Because if I take these questions, I'm able to go to other Professor Parudamo to... But you see, they are not useful if they are located in corners. They are better, diversity. They said it is the success of innovation. You see, so we need ideas also from members about some of these ideas that they can come. You know, one who wants to say the thing, somebody may know it better, or may put it better than you put it, and that's why it is better if it is put in a public platform, so that it can be scrutinized. Because if we discuss it at corner, nobody will scrutinize it. You will say you are right when you are actually wrong. Okay.
There was just one question we didn't answer, and I was reminded when the DG came, and that was how the targets we analyzed were set. And those were set, in fact, in the 10-year innovation plan, which I think the DG is best placed to answer. So maybe that is a short answer to that question.
But there is another one. The existence of the panel of advisors versus NACI. You have not answered that.
Chair, I think we had answered it. I think Honorable Sheen had posed the similar question. I think... The way we see it is that particular panel, is that the interministerial panel?
No.
Oh, it's a different panel. Okay.
I think the advisors to the minister is actually outside our terrain. It's a bit of a, it's sensitive matter. Perhaps you should ask the next set of really. But on the targets that are set, I think I was at the NRF when the DFT did its 10-year innovation plan. And if I may take this question, I'm sure Phil won't mind. But that was set by comparing our economic development with similar-sized other countries in states of development also, and then comparing what their graduation outputs were for PhDs. And we saw there was a strong correlation per country between the number of PhD graduates a country has and its economic output. And so we used that example to say, now, where do we want to put South Africa in 10, 15 years' time? And we saw that if you compare our output to those countries, then we actually need to increase the number of graduates that we are producing now as a PhD graduate by a factor of 5. So that's where those targets, plus everything else that relates to those targets, arrive at. So I hope...
Unfortunately, because the question that relates exactly then to that, why I asked this question now, is the question which was going to be a follow-up about the problem of the South African question in terms of that, looking into our lack of apartheid and infrastructure. You know, and there was a question yesterday posed by another entity where we were looking into that, saying that employers, already it's difficult to plow money into some institutions because employers, they are institutions that they don't even look at the student coming from there because of, and these are some of the things that need NAKI to look into, you know, and advise the cabinet accordingly, you see.
I think what we can say as an independent body that's looking at the state of the national system of innovation is that there has to be quite strong government intervention. I mean, the department as well as the NRF, their hands are really tied by what they can do given the funding that they get. So it's a question of putting in lots more funds because these are rather crucial areas. And if we don't put in the funds, we don't train the right quality of graduates and in the right numbers, all our economic development plans, as grand as they may be, are going to fall short.
Like just as the renewable energy and the wind atlas in the sea.
I think the department is quite aware of that and they're trying to support as much as possible. The DG to answer that in more detail.
DG is already having hot questions and waiting for him already. Okay, thank you very much for a good interaction. I think we have enjoyed your presentation. We hope that you'll take these concerns forward and review them in the NAC and see how we can actually resolve this challenge.
We thank you to Chair and the members. Thank you.
Okay, you can join us. Already there are questions. If we can answer them, we may not even worry about your budget, because it means they've budgeted them.
Sorry, Chair, before the DG starts, because it's clear now that it's 4:20, and by the looks, we would not be, I don't think we'll do justice if we're going to, and there was never a transport arrangement that has been made that we will then be here until 6:00. Now, I want to check from you, members that are using bus, how are they going to go when we are going to, because obviously we are going to be here until 6:00.
I think the assistant secretary must go and discuss and try and check the chief whip's office if they can arrange us some transport. Thank you.
okay, DG, we have time up to 6 o'clock. Therefore, we must try by 6 o'clock to wind up. These members are really complaining. There are too many engagements. Okay, I think we have already introduced ourselves. There's no point now. We just have to hit the road running. There is even no time here. People want to be at their homes now. So I think DG, take it.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks very much. I quickly do like, though, to introduce my deputy, DG, who's joined us. Perhaps you've met him
already. Knowing.
Left him up, and you know the CFO. And we also have Dr. Sagiwo Tisa at the back, who's responsible for the planning side of things. So, thanks. Thanks very much again for the opportunity to share with you what we again think is a good year for the Department of Science and Technology. We may remind you quickly what the objectives are, but everybody knows these, the DST programs, but on each of these programs, we'll try and highlight some achievements that we think are important to mention. We'll talk a little bit about the state of finances and the human resources, and we'll conclude. So we still want to develop our capacity to innovate so that we make the contribution that is necessary in our socio-economic development. We do need to increase our ability to generate knowledge. We need people to do that. We need infrastructure to do that. We need other partners to do that. So we are structured, as you know, in this way where we have corporate services and governance section that looks at just the corporate services that are provided to the rest of ourselves and look at how we manage our institution. We have research development and innovation program too, international cooperation resources, human capital and socio-economic partnership. And as you all know, the guiding policy documents for the department is the white paper, the National Research and Development Strategy, and the 10-year innovation plan. So the work that we are reporting is hanging on the framework provided by those three policy documents. So let me then quickly go to some highlights of research, development, innovation, which includes sub-program on space, hydrogen and energy, innovation instruments and planning, as well as biotechnology and health. You would remember that last year in September we launched our satellite in Baikonur. We, of course, partnered with SunSpace and now currently the CSIR that is looking at mission control for the satellite, and we are busy downloading pictures out of the satellite as it passes over the BS Hook. As you know, that it has a number of cameras that are located at a distance of approximately 500 kilometers above the Earth. We are trying to see whether we can do a couple of things with the satellite, whether we can have the information for determining floods and fires, food security in terms of monitoring the crops using the space, data, health risk, where we are potentially going to see disease patterns in areas that perhaps are changing climate-wise. We'd like to see whether the debate around water resources, we can contribute by really mapping the water resources we have in the country and areas of energy security. We also, again, continue to bid for the square kilometer array, and one of our highlights was that the 7 dishes for the Karoo Array Telescope were completed, and the picture that you see on the right-hand side is the aerial view of the seven dishes that have been completed, and we are busy commissioning these dishes, and in fact we have started to invite international partners to start considering doing experiments on these seven dishes. We also, of course, started to have a number of jobs that were created as a result of both the construction of these dishes and their distribution to site and the roads that were constructed to the Carnarvon site. Of course, as you know, we have other partner countries, and we think that these partner countries, if we do get the square kilometer array, they will benefit from a range of activities. At the moment, for instance, we are negotiating with our European partners to see whether we have a broadband network that would be in the partner countries for internet usage for themselves, but also as part of connecting the dishes. We think, as people think about how to provide the energy for dishes, there would be opportunities, and there are a range of types of energy sources that could be utilized to drive these dishes. In the Carnarvon itself, as you know, we have an outreach program where communities, farmers, and schools close to the FKA infrastructure now have access to the broadband network. The high school in Carnarvon has a cyber lab, which is a world-class cyber lab, and you can see on the picture. And then the other programs to promote the development of math science and education in the surrounding towns continues, and other areas of training in the ICT areas. The area of hydrogen and energy, as you know, Anglo Platinum, together with ourselves, launched this fund of 100 million rands to promote the commercialization of platinum group metal technologies. We ultimately signed a deal with an American company for the distribution and the construction of fuel cell systems that will be distributed in sub-Saharan Africa. We have a number of students that have enrolled within HAISA. This number has doubled. Hydrogen-powered bicycle designed and built in South Africa was in progress during the time of completing this exercise. Of course, it has subsequently been launched. Stationary fuel cell exhibition units were installed for public awareness and demonstration at some of our science centers. And we continue to fund a program to develop the appropriate nuclear human asset and research activities. On the bioeconomy, as you remember, we are now trying to revise our biotech strategy so that we have activities in health, agriculture, and aquatic bioactivity. We're looking at industrial mining, environmental aspect of bioeconomy. We have this draft document in preparation at the moment. At an appropriate time, we'll be more than happy to come and share with you. Maybe some people still remember the phrase that we used before, which we used to call farmer to farmer, but we think the term bioeconomy is an appropriate term for what we used to call farmer to farmer in the 10 a.m. Bioeconomy. Bioeconomy. Yeah, we think it's. We launched this South African HIV and AIDS Research and Innovation Platform, which was meant to consolidate and direct basic applied research in HIV treatment in South Africa. It was meant to provide funding for novel, innovative, and pioneering research in the prevention and treatment of HIV and AIDS, facilitate and encourage the commercialization of products arising from this research, and see whether we can assist in the management of intellectual property and transfer coming out of those innovations. As you know, we are still trying to build the capacity in the country to accelerate the commercialization of R&D that we do. As you all know, the Technology Innovation Board of Directors and the interim CEO was appointed. The entities that were earmarked to migrate into the Technology Innovation Agency, such as AMTS, Innovation Fund, and Chumisano, did migrate to TIA by the end of the financial year. The BRICS were also meant to be incorporated, and I think they have now been incorporated into the TIA. On the National Intellectual Property Management Office, the draft regulations for the IPR Act were published for comment, and in fact by now I think we've taken all the comments, and the regulations are now in place, and we are rolling out the offices of technology transfer. On the international cooperation and resources, we've made some progress. We've been able to leverage approximately 338 million rands from foreign sources. And this is, as you can see, a bit more than 108 million rands more than what we had set for ourselves. We have identified a number of new bilateral projects, especially with our partner countries in the rest of the continent. We are now having co-funded projects with colleagues in Mozambique, in Kenya, and now in Algeria. We also have some projects with our Namibian counterparts. We've also been able to acquire approximately 100 million rand funding for the implementation of the ACP program. We secured 150 million from the EU7 framework, and we've got 30 million rand for joint innovation research activities with the Flanders government. On the SADC side, as you know, we were able to get SADC support for the SKA. The Australian government overseas aid program did provide financial and technical expertise to assist South Africa and Lesotho to expand the pool of future science centers, and USAID also provided some fund for us to develop capacity in the SADC region for risk and vulnerability atlas and the potato culture project in Malawi. Our colleagues from Japan have been able to make funding available to Hitachi, where we take young engineers from ESCOM to go and spend time so that we really see what we call a world-class institution and how they do things in the power area, a very, very useful program. On the human capital, I'll report on not all the areas, but some of the areas. The number of students that have been supported, there is a number. The number of interns that we supported, a bit less than what we wanted. Number of centers that have been established now is 9. We've added 2, Access as well as the IKS. Number of research chairs, 82. And then we've also made some progress in terms of funding postdoctoral program, because we think it's a very important program to increase the research capacity. And again, we have supported a sizable number of honor students, and there's a particular reason why we brag about this, because we think this is the bottleneck where students, if they cannot make that jump from undergraduate into honors, then we will never have the numbers of master's and PhD students that that we want. We continue to increase our participation, or the students that participate into our Youth into Science initiatives during our National Science Week. We supported a number of postgraduate students through some international program. Again, this just gives you a flavor of some of those programs where our students are participating in postgraduate programs. This is some of the program that we funded under the African Origins platform, some of the science platform. As we all know about the fossil find, which is almost 2 million years old, this has attracted local and international researchers into the project, and we are informed that in the next 10 years we'll probably be having high-level science publications. We continue to roll out our nanotechnology program, and we've also funded successfully a very important instrument which is used by a number of nanotechnology researchers at Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, the high-resolution transmission electron microscopy. On the provision of connectivity to our research institutions, as we all know, we now have our backbone to the major cities connected, that has been finalized, and then we've now been able to connect a number of institutions around the main city centers. And Cape Town, UCT and CHPC have been connected. In Johannesburg, WITS and the CSIR campus in Modderfontein in UJ are already connected. In Pretoria, as you can see, CSIR, NRF, NEXA, Satellite Application Center, HATRAL, but we continue to make sure that we get all other institutions connected to the backbone. The Center for High Performance Computing Phase 2 has been completed, and we now have the fastest machine in the southern continent. I've been told by the experts that we now have something called 30 teraflop, which makes us the fastest high-performance computing in Africa. These are some of the flagship of projects that, of course, people are using or are conducting in the Center for High Performance Computing. The penultimate program is a socio-economic partnership where we look at science and technology for economic impact, social impact, and where we monitor our science and technology investments. So here we have a number of joint science and technology project activities between ourselves and other government departments. Again, maybe we have not achieved the number, but it's a good start in terms of showing the working together with other government departments. And again, you can see the number of projects supporting areas of strategic, maybe not as, again, good as we want, almost half, but we think we are making some progress in this. The flagship progress to use wireless mesh network connectivity of broadband was successfully rolled out in the three or in the rural areas of Mpumalanga. We have been now able to connect 150 schools in the Kangala Municipal District that are now benefiting from this experiment. We were able to identify 19 local entrepreneurs, which we call village operators, who will run the network and provide some business opportunities within the wireless mesh network. We've completed the Grand Challenge, Global Change Grand Challenge 10-year research plan as well. In an effort to strengthen the local fluorochemicals industry, a funding support model was finalized during the reporting period. We have now have 4 postdoctoral fellows supported by this initiative, 31 science and engineering students, and the numbers are indicated there. I just want to show you the partners that are involved in the Fluoro Expansion Initiative. As you can see, we have the Nuclear Energy Corporation, we have the Pelchem, the subsidiary of Nexa, we have the University of Pretoria and the University of KwaZulu-Natal. As you all know, that this is a byproduct that comes out of the Fluoro SPA that we have and that we are trying to add value to from Nexa. And there are many, many, many applications of these, including the toothpaste, including packaging. So we are trying to see whether we can add value so we can take advantage of this. Under the Nature Fiber Reinforced Composite Biocomposite Project, we are beginning to have some success. As you know, we have some strategic technology partnership with some companies. This partnership will yield the manufacture of natural fiber composites for the interior panels of aircraft. So next time, perhaps when you fly through an Airbus, you will look at the panel inside and you will be proud that they come from this country, from natural fiber composite. At the moment, these samples with lower weight and have smoke-resistant properties are being tested by the potential client. And then if they say they meet the aerospace standard, we'll then be beginning to manufacture these for Airbus and possibly for Boeing and other companies as well. We continue to make progress in our attempt to make money out of our raw material. This is a graph that shows how much the price of titanium value-added product shifts if you don't export the raw material, such as the ilmenite, which is the basis for titanium. If you go from ilmenite into a slag of titanium dioxide, as you can see, you move from 0.29 US cent per kilogram to 0.79. If you go higher up into TCl4, the titanium tetrachloride, you move to 3 US dollars per kilogram. The red line indicates the interest and the route that we are pursuing. So what we would like to do is to produce titanium powder. So that red curve says we want to then take this titanium tetrachloride, which you can buy at 3 US dollars per kilogram. If we can produce the titanium powder, we will then be exporting the powder at 40 US dollars per kilogram. Along the way, we will be able to produce titanium dioxide, which is a very useful component that is used in the paint industry. Probably won't make a lot of money from that, but it's just a byproduct. But of course, we will continue to make sure that we provide the products for local and export markets. And as you can see, if we do make final products, we will be able to sell them at about $100 per kilogram. So it's a huge money to be made. So what we have done is we formalized this titanium center of competence. We have 5 potential partners that are in the pipeline, and we have a large number of students that are participating in this program. This is how the initiative is organized. As you can see, we've identified a number of competencies from a number of universities in order to pursue the development of the titanium industry in South Africa. I don't think I'll go through the details of this, but this diagram tries to illustrate to you that if we try and pull universities, science councils, and research institutions together, we can work together towards exploiting some research activities that would benefit the country as a whole. In the foundry industry, we have supply chain and localization of components that are related to the infrastructure build program of Eskom and Transnet, what is called CSDP. And then some highlights is that we have done a benchmarking of 117 foundry companies in partnership with UNIDO and the National Foundry Technology Network. Of the 117, 28 companies were selected to receive technology assistance package from the DST. So what we are doing here is we identify companies, small companies, that we provide technology assistance package to, and by doing that they are able to find work and they are linked into the competitive supply development program of our state-owned enterprises. 28 million rand provide for the technology upgrade support to these companies from ourselves. So corporate services, they are responsible for finance, and that's why I brought the CFO here, because she knows this better than anybody else. As you can see, this is just an indication of the allocation of the budget to the DST, the blue line, the MTF allocation, and the green lines or the bar graphs indicate how much we are spending against what we have been giving. So we continue to spend approximately 98% or thereabout of our budget, and we on the at least the finance side, again, we did manage to get an unqualified audit, which is good news for us. And again, this is just how the budget is spread against the program, and again, this is just to show against each of the programs how the spending look like and how we come to 98.2%. Again, we thought we should probably end before we conclude with the slide that just shows our percentage of GDP over the time, and as you all know, we are not happy that we do not have 1%, but we're sitting at 0.95% of GDP for R&D. This is just to remind you how we are represented demographically within the DST. So in conclusion, Chair, we think we have achieved and met most of the targets that we had set ourselves. We, of course, didn't meet others. We still give priority to human capital development because we recognize we can't do all these things unless we have the brain power. We have made some progress in terms of developing the innovation capacity for the country. We have TIA in place now and centers of competence are being rolled out. Space Agency has been finalized. We have the board and we have a caretaker CEO. The IPR Act, the Space Agency Act and the NIPMO Act and the regulations have been finalized. We also think that just scanning the entities that report to the DST, we think together with them we've been able to make some progress. So thank you very much. And the questions will be answered by my colleagues from the left.
Thank you very much, DC, with a reservation. You see, unfortunately, your department it may have an unqualified report, but you must know that it is when they say you can eat, that you can swallow, you feel good, but if if your hand is has been scratched somehow, then it means that you can't say I am as perfect as 100%, because you have got some small injury. Although it is not, you know. So the health department, which the auditor general said they must highlight, they have not done bad in terms of qualified reports. Like you said, overall real estate qualified, but those two departments you need to look into, because they have got qualified financial report, but their reports are incomplete. Then they said that, so if the reports are incomplete, then it's very difficult to say therefore that they indeed the report is quiet, it's unqualified, because you do not know once it's complete what impact it does to the qualification or to the unqualification of the report. So the entities are still coming to us. I think we can as well tell it's HSRC and AISA. Yeah, they have got incomplete reports. And therefore the department is, therefore it means it has got incomplete reports with the entities that are incorporated. So, and that's what I just wanted to highlight. But I'll allow members, I'll never ask any question now. I am going to just shut up. This is why I start by this comment, so that I know I'm complete. I'll give members to ask. I'm no longer going to affect time. Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I hope you realize, Chairperson, that this is being recorded and your promise not to ask questions stands in perpetuity. I'd like, DG, thank you. There's a couple of problems I have with the format of this year's annual report. Previous year, we had a table which could actually said these were our targets, these are what we achieved, this is what the shortfall was. We have no idea this year whether you've actually achieved the targets. We have some nice sounding statements, but we've got no figures that we can actually say that yes, you're going to achieve so much and you have. I want to know why that is. And is that because of the qualification that the AG has put in here? Or is that why the AG has said that? I think it was about 56 underreported. I forget the thing at the back here. That the report is incomplete. That's because of manual systems within the department. I'd like you to explain that if you would. Also of concern to me, and I know that perhaps in monetary terms and in percentage of your budget it doesn't seem very much, but the under expenditure of the department, now look, it says it's only 0.5%, but you know, 20 million rand underspent in administration is a problem, I would think. Nearly 15 million rand in international resources. Socio-economic department underspent by 27.5 million rand. Now, this is an awful lot of money that I'm sure could have been well used. Why was it underspent? Is it because perhaps that the department itself is under-resourced, or is there just too much work, or are we not keeping pace with all our targets? Then also concerned to see that there are so many DGs not there. Okay, we've appointed, I think there's still two posts vacant. One is the operating officer, and is it one of the other? So there's two for two, two has been done, I think. But can you tell us why those key posts were outstanding for such a long while? I did this incomplete reporting thing. Also, just a curiosity. You have outstanding debts. They're not big money, but I'm keen to know what they are and why they haven't paid their bills. Is the Department of Defense for 34,000 and the Presidency for 44,000? I mean, what did you do for them and why haven't they paid? And they can afford stuff, sure. And if we can perhaps just have some reasons as to why the very high level people left, I would appreciate that. We've just had also a presentation, as you're aware, from NACI, and I was concerned about what's happened to the biotech strategy to be one of the world's top three countries in biotech by 2018. We were led to believe that this has been sort of quietly abandoned, that we would never reach that target, and part of that is because the biotech centers have been incorporated into TIA, and people don't see as much of a career path anymore. Also, at a previous presentation by the department on many things but the CHAIRS initiative, I was concerned that what I tended to pick up was perhaps not a commitment to meet the number of CHAIRS over the medium term framework. And I did email, and I've subsequently now put in formal questions as to what is the progress and likelihood of our research CHAIRS program being, the targets being met. Thank you.
There are many wrong questions.
I'm trying to get in before you change your mind.
That's one question which is outside, and someone to take that opportunity. We relate to a space activity. We are from a meeting of Parliament, global parliamentarians in Czech Republic. Now, our concern in that is that as much as we meet as parliamentarians right across the country we work, those that were able, I think they were 13 this time. But also the department and the ministry meet somewhere. How are we to actually how do we the coordination of those visits and then the outcomes and the interest, because as members of parliament we there are some issues that we, because the second visit, the first one was in Korea, and then it was a follow up or a continuation of that meeting in the last one is you are saying one of the slides there is really this nanotechnology public engagement plan. Which public are you referring to? Is it publishing the institutions of higher learning or the general public? So I'm quite interested in that thing. When we visited CSIR, there is a project of nanotechnology that we will show. So that public engagement plan, who is involved and how do you take it?
Honorable members, thank you, DG, and the team. Good afternoon. I hope, Chair, I will ask a few questions to reserve for you, because I want you to ask questions. I want you to ask. No. By royal decree, you are unbanned. First of all, thank you very much, DG and the team, for the report, and thank very much, of course, for the good year, and very, very good and promising. I think we are really on course in achieving what we want to achieve. The first one which can clear my mind, please bear with me, I'm a rural person, I'm a traditional community, and I'm an activist in that field and very passionate about it. My reading on page 12 of this thing, the Sunderland Connectivity Rollout Program, I see that
whether I'm perceived, I want you to clear my mind. That seem to concentrate on cities. That is your focus point. And then you then spread from there. And your spread, I don't know whether my eyes are not that clear, is not spread enough to our area. I know, and I praise you for that, that in the spread of Mpumalanga, you are sensitive to this. But my reading of it, you are not urban, you are urban bar. I want to clear that. You're not rural bar. Yes, we have been under yoke of oppression for many years, and then we love at least that we also share on this technology and innovation. Come from that, I think Chair will know, and all the question in which I actually have interest. Issue of indigenous knowledge systems. I have been listening, thinking that will come to that. That gives us some indication of what the department is doing. I know there are some moves, you know, to address this critical question. But if it was silence, it's deafening to me in this report. That's why I would like you really to do it. Well, as you have any strategies in place to address this, what I tell me to. Because I think we need to do something in that regard. The last question of international cooperation. Yes, it is referred to as cooperation with international experts in Finland. I think the country would love to be one of the best in the world. But the state secret, you know, some of our secret needs some preservation. I don't know whether in this regard, yes, in collaborating with international experts in this special field, yes, South Africa being one of the innovators in the world, there is any faith or any strategy in place for you at least to preserve our state secrets in that regard. I will pause there for now, Chair, as I promised.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkonyana. I think there is no more any question now. Can I ask just one question? Just one. I just wonder, it's one of the questions that I posed to HTG. I don't know whether it's on you already, but I think we just need some clarification about the role of Space Council in the space technology program that we're developing and why it is sitting outside the Department of Science and Technology. Because as far as I correlate issues here. The Space Council was, I think, established during the times when CSIR established related facilities like the Space Application Center. And that time CSIR belonged to under trading industry. But the subsequent, after the establishment of the Department of Science and Technology, then there was amendment of the Act to transfer CSR to the Department of Science and Technology. But I am of the opinion, though not, I haven't verified it in book, I mean, I have an impression that the Space Council then remained by error, if I may say. It remains by error inside in under trading industry, and that is going to cause a lot of confusion as it has started even in Parliament. You see, In the last time when I attended this local conference, which is coming to South Africa, by the way, next year, and it's a big thing, that thing, and you need to strategize in good time, and if we do not know who is the accounting officer to plan all those things, and we are going to make a flop of that international effort. Now, I have already signed that there is very big resistance from the Space Council coming to us, science and technology, in discussing with some of them that how does it happen that you fall outside science and technology system. And they said no, they were very happy to be where they are, you know, and I understood why. And I think we have to sort out those things, but I do want to understand from you why they still, is it not, am I not right that it may be an error of history arising out of those transfers and amendments of acts? I just want to be sure about that. Because I'm not going to participate in organizing anything myself for next year. And all other things is not for them, because I got into some problems during that, as we were there.
I'm told, for instance, that the pages now about 170, if we have tables, it will actually make the pages jump into the pages. So we try to contain the cost, the problem of the model. But we are aware of what you're saying, that then makes it difficult to really monitor and track if you don't have the tracking. So maybe we should just find a medium that helps us to contain the cost, but at the same time, make the information available. And then this issue that you've mentioned, 56 under-reporting, it's an issue which we have accepted in the department that we didn't do a good job on this predetermined objectives, as they are called, where you indicate upfront the targets that you'd like to achieve, and then you report on a quarterly basis and then on a six-month basis, third quarter and last quarter, because this is what the Auditor General said they needed to be added on our budget. Now, they indicated to us that they should start this process. They're not going to express an opinion this year. They will only start expressing an opinion 2011-2012. So, but however, they said they will indicate their view on this without expressing an opinion, and our annual report does indicate this, as you pointed out. Our understanding is that they are only interested in whether you have a performance information management system where they can track whether the department has internal processes to monitor progress on this predetermined. Now, the 56 underreported comes from the fact that what we found was that in the rush job of trying to set up these predetermined objectives, the objectives that we had on our operational plan of the annual report and those that we had on our corporate strategy were not aligned. In fact, that's what the Auditor General was saying. So we felt there's no need for us to report on the predetermined objectives that were on the corporate strategy, but they were not. So that's really what is the implication of this, not that we didn't report because there were no activities on this thing. So as I say, it's our perhaps not being so efficient, but we've now put into place mechanisms where the information that is applied to corporate strategy, E&E, as well as the annual report is the same information so that we can track this information appropriately. Under expenditure, yes. This is partly we are victims of our own success. If you remember last year, it was the year that the recession kicked in, and each government department was asked to develop mechanisms to try and identify savings. And our corporate services at DDG had identified areas where the department would make savings. So when you look at the analysis of the amount of money that you identify as under expenditure, you'll probably find that the large proportion of the money, if I remember very well, CFO, correct me, in total I remember a figure of about 80 million, right, which are actually savings because of the manner in which the department started to minimize the trips, in the way that we started to minimize our travel expenses and international trips, that we were able to, the way that we provide for food. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we have saved about 80 million. So we were happy to take the money back to the fiscal. The bulk of those monies are not the monies earmarked for the program. The budget, you can think of it as being divided into goods and services, the money we use internally and the money that we transfer. But maybe CFO will be able to give an analysis. But I do remember that it was our being diligent in following our attempt to try and make savings.
Oh, that's good, DJ, to say that, because you took my ticket. So you're doing savings on my ticket. I've long been asking for this ticket. Yes. It's taken 3 years now, so you're doing savings. Oh, that's good.
The second part, of course, outside the savings, is that in certain instances, we are unable to transfer the money because we don't get the reports that are a precondition for us to send the money. So we can, for the sake of saying we've spent all the money, to spend the money, but we are also a bit strict to the entities that receive money, that until they've given a satisfactory report, we may not. Sometimes these reports come late because of maybe the internal processes in the institutions or the universities. So, but I'm sure the CFO can just give a breakdown of what percentage was goods and services and which what percentage was for transfer to later stage. The third question was not so filling of the positions at the DDG level. We did advertise the COO position. We found the candidate. When we did reference checks, we found that the candidate did not be suitable. So the position is still vacant, and we are looking at whether we still need to keep it in its form or whether we should be looking at restructuring the structure in the department. So we'll come back to that. On the one for research, development, and innovation, as you know, that position has subsequently been filled. Again, it was not easy to. We had one round where we didn't find the candidates. We then had a headhunting process. Even there, we didn't find suitable candidates. And then we played a trick. We then looked around and looked whether internally we have a candidate that we could probably work on and fast track, and we managed to do that. The other question is the leaving of some of the high-profile people in the department. I will tell you a biased answer and say that they've all gone into higher jobs that are higher paying. One went to become a CEO of the South African Bureau of Standards, and the other one is a group executive at the Nuclear Energy Corporation of South Africa. Couldn't match those salaries, but we're happy that we are providing the country with high-level skills that can contribute at the highest level in wherever they go. But of course, I'm not saying, and I'm not asking the other DDGs to be thinking about leaving. We need them in the department. CFO will probably talk about these outstanding debts of 44K. I don't know. So let me respond on the high level of the biotech. In our view, it's always difficult to convince people that the migration of the biotech innovation centers into the technology innovation agency, in our view, should not affect the development of the biotechnology strategy or what we are now calling the bioeconomy. There is no instruction from the minister or from the department, nor to the chair of the board and the board of the technology innovation agency, that the biotech program has got to be scaled down or be reduced. In fact, as you can see from the 10-year innovation plan in pharma to pharma as it is currently described in the document of the bioeconomy, we actually have higher aspirations of what we think biotechnology can do for the country. So if there is anybody who has facts, we would be more than happy to engage with them. But if these are perceptions, to say, because they have migrated into Technology Innovation Agency, therefore we will not be able to achieve the target that we've set. There are no instructions that have been given to anybody. In fact, as I say, we expect the contrary. We are revising the biotech strategy to look at what has worked and what has not worked. We are looking at a biotech audit which is being done by the Human Sciences and Research Council, and we're looking at opportunities and what biotech can do for the country, and then begin to identify programs that we need to fast track and those that perhaps we need to get rid of if they're not going to get us there. But again, this committee will be informed when we are ready to make those announcements. I'm going to ask Dr. Mlapo Kobela to talk about the research initiative targets and where we are. All I can say is that within the department, we are now beginning to say research chairs is an initiative and an instrument that seems to be working in terms of building the research capacity within higher education institutions. And we have been trying to say if we do not receive all the funding we're looking for, we can perhaps within the department and some of our institutions look for additional funding. But he can talk more about that. But we think things are looking positive. In fact, in the next coming months, we should be able to make some useful announcement, and the numbers are not that bad. Honorable Dunja on the space activities. What we could do is maybe, as you know, we have finalized our space strategy, and we are now developing an implementation plan. As part of that implementation plan on space issues, and this answer is related to the issue raised by Honorable Nongonyane, there are areas which you cannot just share with everyone in public. So what we would like to do is maybe when we've completed those documents with the permission of the chair, that we come and share those documents with you. And actually in those documents, one of the things that we've been very careful and prudent about is who we collaborate with internationally to deal with the issue that you raised, but also to deal with an issue of being very, very selective and really try and collaborate that with those people that will get you the best you're looking for, but at the same time be sensitive to other issues. So, Chair, this is an offer that we are making to coordinate the activities, and maybe at that meeting, if you have some suggestions, can help us to modify the documents before we finalize them. I'm going to leave the nano public engagement plan to, again, Dr. Kovela in his program, but our view is that it's the general public that we are trying to reach. Our Agency for Advancement of Science Technology, the MSSA, I think has the responsibility of just finalizing the contract for them to raise public awareness of nanotechnology, but they expect it sitting next to me. Honorable Nongonyane, the Sunrun, we have identified the gap that you have identified. We are working currently with our counterparts in the Department of Higher Education and Training, but within our own sphere of influence, we believe that in the next coming months, again, Dr. Kovela will report, we should be able to give you some positive news that would address exactly the point we are saying. We don't think the rural-based universities or historically disadvantaged universities should not benefit from this. In actual fact, they are the ones who need this network more than the others, but Dr. Kovela will talk more about. On the annual report on the indigenous knowledge systems, we actually have about three highlights. The first highlight is the development of a B degree on indigenous knowledge system at the University of Northwest, the Mafeking campus. It's now, I think, in operational, and students can register for BIKS. We have started a process of IKS recordal system. In other words, we have a database that we are rolling out where we would like those ideas that are IKS related or indigenous knowledge to be recorded into this recordal system. Of course, as you know, it's a complicated process because for people to volunteer the information, you need to give them assurance that if there is any economic value that gets derived out of that, the benefits would come into that. But that's a process that we are putting in place. And again, Dr. Kawara could probably talk a bit more about where we are on the recordal system. This year, like every year, we usually have an Indigenous Knowledge Systems Expo. This year we had it in Durban, and then we also had an IKS conference where Indigenous knowledge holders with universities sat together to look at how they can work together using the model that's already been started at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, where traditional leaders are working with the university to try and identify areas where we could codify the knowledge and exploit the ideas and the knowledge that they have. We also have an initiative at the MRC here where Dr. Matsavisa is already manufacturing tablets from the work that he's been doing with Indigenous knowledge holders. So there's a wealth of activities, I think, that we are doing in this area. We would actually perhaps, Chair, in your visits, ask that you indicate to us if you're interested to visit the African Traditional Medicine Unit at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, led by Professor Kalin. It's a very, very exciting and forward-looking program where the university is working with the traditional knowledge holders. We'll be more than happy to facilitate.
Dr. Kavela knows very well. He owes me something on that.
Okay.
He will tell us. Okay. Because you said he is going to tell us more. I'm expecting to add more.
Okay. Well, no, that's fine. But the offer stands to the honourable member. International cooperation. Yes, there are two mechanisms. The one is when we engage on. Now that we have published, or the act is in place for publicly financed, IPR for publicly financed, all institutions are supposed to protect the knowledge from if they are funded by the state. And how they then engage with people internally has to take into account that they have protected the knowledge and therefore they will not willingly share. But you're asking about state secrets. We do not share state secrets in the areas where we are working in highly classified information. We do not share that with our international partners unless it's something that is sanctioned or cleared by the powers that be. And in fact, we do work very, very closely and we get clearance on these issues from the appropriate departments and the presidency and so forth. Last question from the chair on the role of the Space Council. It's a historical and a legacy issue. And then I'll explain what I mean, but the other one is a logical issue. The Space Council was set up in order to ensure that the country does adhere to the peaceful use of space. So it was located within the... It was located at the Department of Trade and Industry because it was meant to regulate the country's use of space so that we are only using space for peaceful means. As you know, space is what is called dual-use technology. You can use it for launching an object which is harmless, like a satellite, or can also launch things in space with very deadly weapons. So, yes. So, they were then part of what is called the DTI, the Non-Proliferation Unit, that looks at just generally the country and its responsibility in ensuring that we do not use it. So that's why it's at the DTI. So its function, really, it's just a regulatory and ensuring that everybody who is involved in space-related activities adhere to ensuring that the country is using it for space. So that's the historical, and that's why they're there now, because they have a unit that looks at non-proliferation-related activities. However, we as the Department of Science and Technology feel that we do need somebody who regulates our activities. so that you don't have a regulator at the DST, and the DST is actually rolling out the space program, because we will, in a sense, be a referee and a player at the same time. Whether it's located then in other agencies of the department or whether it's located, but we still think it would be healthy for Space Council not to be part of the department, that would expect somebody to tell them that you are now perhaps getting into a terrain of not peaceful use of space. So I think I have covered all the questions, but I don't know if the CFO is ready with the just the rough spread of the transfers from the save and the savings coming from our goods and services, and then the 34K and the 44K outstanding debts. And then Dr. Cavella will probably talk a little bit about the research shares initiatives and the targets. Maybe he can comment on the public engagement on Nano. I don't know if you still want to add anything on IKS. And then I think that's it. Maybe again on the SunRand and the notes outside.
Okay. Just a follow-up question on what you've just said. Now, you have mentioned a very specific, different role, but I still do not relate, therefore, why would it be involved as a regulatory body in organizing or in engaging in activities of space technology? Because, you know, the conference that was there is about activities of developing space technology, because as a regulatory body, it's supposed to be there as an observer that if at all space agencies are talking about developing more, innovative methods of space technology, like actually it is now that the most area of focus is radar satellite technology that is being developed. Why does the Space Council there? Why is it supposed to organize such conference? Then it's a problem. You see? Because it is a problem for Parliament. Myself, I didn't even know, because I didn't even know that it is organized, but it was the Speaker's office that said to Shanaz. That's why. Is this the conference being organized? Why is it being organized by trade and industry? Because the space technology is a competence of science and technology, you know? And so these are the problems, and from what we've elaborated, then I really do not see why would therefore be engaged, because even the next year's conference, they are talking of that it is their competence, they are the ones who organize this. So I'm not sure, but I do not want to be inscribed in a round hole, but I don't want to be found in situations of unnecessary conflict. I remember the whip there, it was a time when I had to intervene when I was being questioned why I'm here, you see, and so forth. My very why come like this?
Employees of the DST, leaving the DST
joining other departments, and those deaths are for that. And we are in the process of collecting, and all I want to make the committee to understand is that deaths are moving targets. We collect, we create. So there's always going to be some kind of balance or outstanding debts that the department is being owed, and the department is owing other departments. So I would like to assure you that we are very consistent in terms of collecting those debts. And on the issue of the breakdown in as far as the unspent budget is concerned, I would like to say that currently the way we analyzed the financials in the annual report, it doesn't quite show clearly, and unfortunately I had done the analysis. I cannot remember the figures, but it's a question of me sitting back and then calculating that and giving it to the committee. It's going to take me a little bit longer because the classification as it is, it's per program. So it will want me to calculate that. I add those and then give the answer. I can't do it currently the way it is. So I promise that I will give the committee the answer like tomorrow. Thank you.
Chairperson, honorable members, I'm not sure if it's good afternoon or good evening. Yes. It's been a long day for you, I'm sure. I will be very brief because I think the Director General has been very comprehensive in his responses to you, honourable members. Mine is just maybe to add one or two sentences. Maybe I should start with the issue of the research chairs. I believe I would say this without fear of contradiction. There is an unwavering commitment to grow the numbers. There is an unwavering commitment to grow the support that we give to our established research community, to change the equity profile of that research community, and to ensure that it talks to and it works on research that not only supports our national research and development strategy, but responds to the needs of the country as a whole. I do believe, Chairperson, with your permission, there is a parliamentary question that has been addressed to the Minister of Science and Technology, and I think it would be more appropriate that this matter comes through that process. The second issue, Chairperson, that maybe I would add a few sentences is on the SANRAN program. Honourable members, in many ways there are four pillars that inform some of our work. The issue of access, access to opportunity. If you don't have access to opportunity, and it comes in many forms, whether it's financial access, access to infrastructure, access to anything. Equity, and therefore it's equity of opportunity. Success, and there's quality. Four pillars. The sort of work that we do requires, as the Director General was saying, people and infrastructure. SANRAN is part of our cyber infrastructure system. We believe that every single university in our country, every single campus, and whether it's a satellite or a main campus, must be connected to this network. Similarly, the science councils. Eventually, we will try and work in concert with our colleagues in the Department of Arts and Culture to make sure that our major museums and even hopefully the smaller ones are also on the network.
So what you see is that one phase of the rollout. I think we will hear in due course through the Minister rollout as it progresses.
keep safe.